Hallelujah. If that's you, just raise your hand. We're going to tell you how to get Jesus Christ in your life. Don't want to assume that everybody in here is saved, but God is good nevertheless. Let's just go to God in prayer this morning. Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord God. Hallelujah, that you're calling each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord God, for your amazingness, Lord God, in our lives. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you've done and all that you have planned to do, knowing that those plans came about even before we were in our mother's wombs. We thank you this morning. We thank you for your word that's about to go forward, Lord God. Hallelujah, to take your people to the next step in believing you. We thank you for all the provisions that you've given us during this week, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for proving yourself, hallelujah, to be the Lord of Lords and the God of God. Now, Lord God, let your presence be felt here today. Let it be felt here today. Father, whatever word you have for each and every one of us, individually and corporately, let it be heard in the ear of our hearts. Now we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to continue talking about prayer being our secret weapon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Earl. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you do those fans for me? Just cut that off. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Have you found out that prayer is a substantial weapon in your life? A secret weapon that you can use? Hallelujah. This morning we're going to be talking about crystallizing God's blessing into your life, making it happen. That's what it's really all about, making it happen. Making it happen. You know, whenever you want to improve something in your life in a natural way, you kind of add something to it. I remember a commercial a long time ago. I think I might have been, I don't know, maybe a teenager, I'm not sure. But they came out with these tablets that you can drop in the water. Anybody remember that? And they turn into a soda. Anybody remember that? Flop, flop, fizz, fizz. No, it wasn't Alka-Seltzer. But it was a tablet that someone had invented, and it had different flavors. If you wanted a Coke, you could just drop this Coke tablet in a glass of water. You'd have the same taste as a Coke. Somebody remember that? Now, that's been a while back. And they had these commercials. They had these commercials that came on TV, and two or three little kids would grow up to a drugstore counter, you know, just sit at the counter, and the man come up and say, what do you want? And when the little guy said, may I have a glass of water, please? And then the man turned around to get the water, and then the little boy said, I mean three glasses of water, please, because they had three of them. Now, here's an establishment that's selling all kinds of stuff, ice cream, sodas, and this little boy asked for water. Well, the reason he was asking for water was because he had got some of these tablets. And so they really wanted soda. They didn't want water. They wanted soda. But all they needed from the man was water because they had the other ingredient. Now, that didn't last very long on the market. You can imagine why. Amen? If you had a tablet that you can put into 12 or 16-ounce glass of water and turn it into a Coke, are you with me? So whoever invented that got a lot of money, because they sucked that up out of that market quick. Quick. I hope they didn't kill the man. But it wasn't around very long. It wasn't around at all. That child had found a way to crystallize that water and transform it, not the child, but the inventor, transform it into some other sort of soda. You say, man, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Today we're going to be talking about transforming or crystallizing those things that God's already got for you and bringing them to the natural and changing them to the point where you could see them, where you could touch them, where you could taste them, where you could hear them, whatever it is. Bringing them into the natural world because they already exist. See, when that child went up to the counter and asked for a glass of water, the glass of Coke already existed. All he had to do is add something to it, and it would crystallize it. Hallelujah. And it become that way. So many of us that are confessing salvation are missing out on this thing. Because so many people think, okay, well, now I went to church and somebody asked me to get saved. I got saved. I'm going to do right. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to do A, B, C, D. No, it doesn't. It's not like that. When you truly get saved, listen, you become a whole different person. Not because you're in control, but God gives you a whole different spirit. I wish we could see it. You would know it. You get a whole different spirit. And the things that you were doing against the will of God, you're just not going to want to do it anymore. You're not. You won't have an appetite for that anymore. That's what salvation means. A lot of people go into a church, a Christian church, and they're going through and somebody say, you want to get saved? And they just say the words, then they go right back out, but they got the same hang up because they're the same person. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. They're the exact same person that came in the door. They haven't been born again. They don't have a new spirit. But when you do surrender your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you become this new creature. And with that comes certain power. Power. That if you're not aware of it, you'll never use it. You just never use it. You think it's something preachers got. Or deacons got. Or somebody else with some sort of title got. No, every born again believer gets born again. And with that comes certain powers. And we just got to know that so that we could take advantage of it. But if you don't believe it, you won't receive it. That's just the way it goes. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. See, we don't understand the power of prayer. What we talked about last week. We really don't understand what that can do for you. You really don't. A lot of times we ask God for something, and if it don't come next Wednesday, we just forget it. And we don't even believe it's going to happen. Say, well, that's not what God wants for me, or I haven't been good enough, so God won't give it to me. It doesn't work that way at all. God has given us the power. We have the power inside of us. Hallelujah. We have the power inside of us. That's what Mark chapter 16 talked about. It says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And what's the rest of that? Now, this is Jesus talking. You think he's lying? I often reminisce, you know, and I shared. I didn't share about my grandmother a million times with you, but how she prayed for me. A young lady without a lot of skills, per se, but she prayed. She prayed until I was 33, and I was able to call her, and I call her Nanny. And I called her and said, Nanny, you guess what? I got saved. Oh, Lord, she was a happy somebody. She was a happy somebody. Her prayers was added to my life, and it's a matter of time. Listen, it just took that long time because I was probably fighting it. Didn't understand what was going on anyway. But the issue is, did she stop praying? No, she didn't stop praying. Just because I called and said I got saved. A few years later, I called and said, hey, Nanny, I'm a deacon now. Oh, Lord, she went off. You're what? You're a deacon? Oh, my baby. And then a few years later, I called and I said, listen, they done made me a minister. She said, oh, my God, a minister. But she kept praying. She kept adding to that prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. She kept adding to that prayer. She just kept praying, kept praying. See, the initial prayer was, Lord, save that boy. Mm-hmm. But then she started praying, Lord, help that deacon. And then she said, Lord, give whatever help you can to this preacher. But then I called her one day. I'm saying, Lord, I say, I'm opening up a church. I'm starting a church. I'm going to be a pastor. Lord. Did she stop praying? No. No. And I've seen other manifestations come. And I know it's the result of her prayers crystallizing certain things in my life. My main prayer, I said, Lord, open the eyes of your people so that they can see. So they could see. You remember that story? Hallelujah. Of Elijah, and he was the prophet there, and the enemy had all these troops around the city. And Elijah's proteges were scared. They said, Lord, what are we going to do? And Elijah said, hey, don't worry about it. It's more of us than it is of them. Now, they didn't understand that because they couldn't see it. So Elijah asked God, said, God, open their eyes. And God opened their eyes, if you know the story. If not, go back and read that story. And he opened the protege's eyes, and they saw all the angels that was camped around the enemies waiting for instructions from Elijah as to what to do. See, there's things that exist, whether you see them, feel them, taste them, touch them, or not. They're existing right now. What is it you want God to do for you? What is it? What is it you really want God to do for you? Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a grandchild, great-grandchild, whatever. Maybe it's a parent, whatever. Maybe you want to see some changes that need to be there manifested in the natural. God says, I've already made it happen in the spiritual world, but you're going to have to do something to crystallize it so that you can start experiencing it in the natural world. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. We said a little bit earlier, I told you, you know, once you understand this thing, you can actually say with your mouth, I'll never be broke again the rest of my life. Amen? Not because of anything we're doing, but because once you understand how this thing works and the power that you have in you, so you can start calling bills paid. Ah, you don't understand what I'm talking about. You can start calling bills paid. You can start calling bills paid. I was talking with my wife. I think it was the latter part of last year and stuff. I'm saying, look, I'm just tired of this. I'm just tired of car payments. I don't want no more car payments. And we just start praying and say, car payments be gone. Just be gone in the name of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, I got a check in the mail for $19,000. Hallelujah. 6 years earlier than I expected the check to come. Car paid. Are you with me? Car paid. Car paid. We have no problem with people in our life, in our circle of influence getting saved. We've got the power to call that be not as if it was. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. He's a good God. And you've got power in you, hallelujah, that you don't even understand. But you got to learn how to crystallize it. It already exists. It already exists. You just got to add something to that. You see, when you add it to it, it's just like that little child I was talking about with the tablets. All right? The Coke was already there, but he had to put something in the water. But once he did what he's supposed to do, hallelujah. All of a sudden, he's drinking Coke. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. I hope you believe in this stuff. Because I tell God sometimes, saying, God, this stuff is wild. I don't know if I believe it. God said, yeah, you believe it. It's time for us to wake up, folks, to this thing. Being saved just don't mean going to somebody's building once a week or twice a week, sing a few songs, hear a few messages. No, 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 no. You need to get back in the book of Acts and see some of the things these disciples were doing when Jesus was gone. He wasn't even on the scene. But the disciples was doing it. Well, if they were doing it, then we should be able to do the exact same thing. But it starts with your belief in this thing. See, last week we saw in the scriptures that there is power in prayer and that power belongs to us. We saw that last week. And now let me just rehearse a passage that we read last week out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It talks about us. It talks about how we operate. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, We do not war after the flesh, which means it's not our natural senses that we use to get things done. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not fleshly. It's not about how much I know or who I know or how much money I got. It's not about none of that stuff. It says, but they are mighty through God to the point of pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. See, the devil is right there. As soon as you hear a message, he's right there to try to take that right out of your heart. You say, well, I heard what that preacher said, but don't believe that. You just keep doing what you're doing. Well, I say that to you too. You keep doing what you're doing, you're going to have what you got. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't at all. But God wants you to operate here on planet Earth as if he was here on planet Earth doing the work. But you'll never do it unless you believe it. The Word of God says that God has already prepared many blessings for those of us that love him. He's already prepared it. He's already prepared the car to be paid off. He already prepared your children to be saved. He's already prepared this stuff. He's prepared. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered even in the heart of a man, the things which God, two words, has prepared for them that love him. Well, the question is, once again, where are these things? Where are they at? Why don't I see what you see, God? Where are they at? Well, the answers to it is the things that he's prepared, the answers that he's prepared for you, they're in the spirit world. They're in the spirit world. And you've got to learn how to crystallize them and bring them into the natural world. Now, I'm not talking about voodoo or witchcraft or anything like that, all right? It's all in the scripture. It's all in the word. It's all in the word. That's why it's so important for us to get into the word and find out what it is we got so that we can start using it. You see, the spiritual world is just as real as our natural world. We just can't access it with our five senses. We can't. We just can't. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good of a person you are, you just can't do it. Not at all. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that all things are yours. All things. How many things? All things. Where he said that at? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Look at what he says. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Don't get to the point where you envy these folks because they got something or they doing something so great or whatever. And he gives you a reason why. He says, for all things are yours. Now, he was talking to the church at Corinth, but he might well be talking to you and talking to me. He says, for all things are yours. Now, if we don't go no further today, you can grab a hold of that. All things are yours. What is it you want? What is it you want? You know, I'm almost convinced that the trouble people have in this world is derived from the fact that they don't know what they want. They don't know what they want. You ought to talk to a 15, 16, 17-year-old that you know and ask them, what do you want? They don't have a clue what they want. So consequently, the devil tricks them into accepting whatever he has for them. But he says, look, all things are yours. That means that we have the power to crystallize God's blessings, which are in the spirit world, into a form that is useful to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows when we prayed about having a car being paid off. Listen, he knew we can't just go around and wish that thing. I can go around all day long and say, my car paid off, my car paid off, car paid off, car paid off, car paid off. But I need some money, honey. Are you with me? I need some money to pay this thing off. So as we prayed and we believed God, hallelujah, God did something that I could not have done in the natural. I could have called those folks up every day. They would have told me the same answer. Well, you just got to wait 6 years. But through that prayer, the check was crystallized, brought into my hands, and then I could do what I need to do. Amen? Then I could do what I need to do. I told Sister Eva, I said, I'll never owe for another car the rest of my life. Never, ever, 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 ever. Because I'm going to pray for it first. Amen? I know how to pray so that when it comes, it doesn't leave a debt in my life. It doesn't. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. We have the power to crystallize once again God's blessing into a form that's useful to us, whatever it is. Now, you may not even get the gist of this message in 2 or 3 days from now. I know, but long as you understand, long as it comes, crystallize, you use that word crystallize. Crystallize means to come together, to fall into place, or to take shape. Crystallize means to bring it into a form where my 5 senses can take advantage of it. There was no use of a check for $19,000 being in the spiritual world. Can't use that in the spiritual world, even though it's sitting there. Hallelujah. Now, you don't understand that because I don't understand that, but I know it and I believe it. I believe it. Now, once we get on the other side, there might be a lot of stuff. 1 Corinthians 13 said, now you know in the flesh. But see, he said, but then, what is but then? When you get on the other side, you'll know all things. I don't understand stuff being in the spiritual world. I don't understand that with my intellect, but I understand it with my heart. I understand it. I understand what the word says. And the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. You see, let's take water for instance. Water. Everybody say water. Water. See, when we say that, we know what we talk about. Water is just water. I don't care what country you live in. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care where you're at. Water is just water. And water serves one purpose in the natural form and another purpose when it's frozen and crystallized into ice. It's still water. Right? It's still water. But when you add something to it, you transform that from one state into a whole new state. Whatever it is God has for you in the spirit world is in a spiritual state. But you can't use that. Not in the land you're living in. Not in the land you're living in. You can't. You try it sometime. Go to Walmart. Let that lady ring up all that stuff. You know, and then you tell her, well, you know, I got this amount of money, but it's in a spiritual state. You watch how quickly they take that stuff out the basket. You can't use it in that state. You can't. But if you don't know how to crystallize it, then you won't. You just won't do it. See, an environment of a low temperatures normally start at 32 degrees or below. Normally an environment of low temperature is a thing that crystallizes water into ice. That's all you got to add to it is a low temperature. Oh, that's it. That's it. But the environment of effectual prayer is a thing that crystallizes spiritual blessings into natural blessings. That's why prayer is so important. It is so, so important. So important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I watched that old lady, come on, turn an irresponsible little boy into a saved creature, into a deacon, into a minister, into a pastor. I watched it. Now, I believe right now, based upon what I've learned over the years, that was God's plan from the very beginning. But somebody had to exercise their power to crystallize that plan. If you understand what I just said, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Stop talking about folks. Start interceding. Start interceding. You know, the devil will have us mad at folks, especially our children. He'll have us mad at us. Stop being mad. Stop being mad. Say what God says. Say that they save. Amen. Say that they save. They get stupid and foolish in front of you, just tell them, say, get out of my face, you old saved thing. Call it. Call it. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, verse 16 says this. The effectual, fervent prayer. James chapter 5, 16. The effectual, and I'm just reading the end of it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man can get a lot done. He says avail it much, but that's the same thing. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, and man is just generic. It could be male or female. Avail it much. Can get a lot done. A lot done. We'd be sitting around boo-hooing and crying and all that crazy stuff. Come on. Come on. I know the devil be laughing. I say, go on and cry with your foolish self. Long as you don't pray. Long as your prayers are not effectual. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Effectual prayers, what do? They crystallizes in the natural world those things that already exist in the spiritual world. Hallelujah. Already exists. Those of you that were saved before you were saved. Because it was God's plan. But somebody got to, somebody's got to express effectual prayer to bring that thing about. And you think you ain't got nothing to do? Listen, if nothing else, listen, you can intercede for those that you know are lost. Hallelujah. Once again, let me just say this. Effectual prayers crystallize in the natural world those things that already exist in the spiritual world. What does that mean, preacher? That means that there's power in prayer, and that power belongs to you. Amen? That power belongs to you. You need an answer for something, start praying. Asking God, start praying. Start praying. I want to just share a little example with you today out of the Old Testament. You remember the story of Hannah? Now, Hannah was married to Elkanah. And Elkanah had a couple wives. Now, I don't know why he wanted two of them, all right? But Elkanah had two wives. And I guess in his mind, I'm guessing he thought, well, they're just two women. And, you know, they're going to go through the same path and everything will be all right. But it wasn't all right. Hannah didn't have any children, couldn't have any children, didn't have any children, where the other wives had children. The other wife, rather, had children. And the other wife mocked Hannah as often as she could. You know how it is. You got two women married to the same man. Now, you know you want to be number one. You got to be. You got to be. So Hannah was all upset, and she needed a miracle. Any of you need a miracle today? She needed a miracle. She could no longer rely upon her natural body to produce a child the way that her heart was. All she knew is that this other woman was riding her back, making fun of her because she had no children, and otherwise implying that she was a better wife. So Hannah did something here, and I'm going to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to look at it. Verse 9 through 11. You know, once a year they go and they express their appreciation to God through the priest and go through a ceremony. And it was during that time that Hannah just came to her senses and decided what to do. See, some of you have been begging God. Come on now. I've been begging God, been screaming, you know, about a certain change that needs to happen in your circle of influence. But you haven't come to your senses as what really need to happen here. The verse starts off like this. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah was in bitterness of soul. She was crying. She was crying. And now here's the next part. She was not only bitterness of soul, but the word says she prayed unto the Lord. And she wept. And she vowed a vow, and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child. But she was specific. I want a man child. All right. She said, if you do that, then I will do something for you, God. And my heart is right. I will do something that you want me to do, that I feel like you want me to do. She says, if you do that, then I will give this child unto you all the days of his life. And there will no razor come upon his head. So he's talking about being a Nazarite right there. So what triggered a change for Hannah? Praying. She just got serious with God and her prayers became effectual. And she just started praying. See, before that, she was just complaining. She was complaining because she had no children. Thought God didn't like her or whatever. I don't know. But she was just complaining. But now we see in verse 10, it says she prayed unto the Lord. A lot of times people be upset about things. And my first question, have you taken it to the Lord? Have you asked the Lord? Have you asked the Lord about that situation? Have you asked for guidance? Have you asked for the manifestation of certain things? Have you asked the Lord? And most of the time, the answer I get, if I get an answer, is no, I haven't done that. Then why are you all upset? You're confessing to be a saved person. That means Jesus is your Lord, but you haven't asked the Lord. You haven't. You haven't. Now, to some of you, listen, for some of you, you better learn from my mistakes. Before you even go out and make purchases, ask the Lord. I know we all see things that we like in the natural, but ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Are you with me? Ask the Lord. I remember it was about 3 weeks ago. Sister Eva went up to Franklin. We had to go to a jewelry store to do some things. Went to that jewelry store, and the lady got to talking to him. I said, Sister Eva, come over here. And she said, the lady said, this one looks so good on you. Hallelujah. I think it was $600, something like that. I don't know, something like that. And I said, Sister Eva, come over here. Leave that stuff alone. And the lady said, that fits you just right. So Sister Eva bought the thing. She bought the bracelet. And then the next morning she said, you know what, Dan? This thing don't even fit right. Wouldn't ask the Lord. Does that make her a bad person? No. Because we all do it. Didn't do it. I mean, could have asked the Lord. Could have just stopped and said, Lord, you want me to buy this? But no, she saw it. She wanted it. She got it. Amen? And it took me 3 weeks to get her money back. 3 weeks dealing with those people. 3 weeks. Unnecessarily. Simply because we don't ask the Lord. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Amen. That doesn't make us bad people. But we're saved people. We're saved people. I told you before, you don't want your children living in your house just making decisions on their own. No, ask me. Ask me. Ask me. Are you with me? Can you imagine a 13-year-old going out signing a contract for a car? Now, they will. If they think they can get away with it, they will. I don't know how legal that would be. But if you had one that did that, the first thing you would tell them is, why didn't you come to us? Why didn't you ask me? Is that not what you would have said? Why'd you do that? Well, that man tricked me. Why'd you do that? Why didn't you not come to me? And that's the same thing with us. We're living in the end time now. We can't afford to make all kinds of crazy mistakes. Ask God. God is a good God all the time. Hannah was sick and tired of her situation. She probably had tried everything except what? Prayer. Everything except prayer. The enemy had robbed her of many years of blessing. Why? Because she hadn't given the situation to God. Hey, hallelujah. You know what God just said? God said, financially, most of you that are in the area of my void, most of you are supposed to be richer than you are. But you've been doing things your way. And God said, all right, you want to do it your way? You get what you got. You get what you got. Are you with me? You get what you got. Ask God. Just like Hannah, when we get to the point where we've sick and tired of being sick and tired and we begin to pray an effectual prayer that will crystallize our blessings into the natural world, then things will happen for us. Hallelujah. I don't care what you got now. It might be nice to have a little bit more. Is that not right? Amen. Goodness almighty. Just ask the Lord. I'm convinced that even now we still don't fully understand what salvation means. I think for most people, most folks confessing Christian, they think it just means I'm going to join a church. Hallelujah. You got all this stuff inside of you. Let's go back to the story, show you what happened. Verse 17 in 1 Samuel 1. Then Eli answered and said to Hannah, go in peace, and the God of Israel, listen to what he said, the God of Israel grant you, oh, what a powerful man, grant you your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your handmaiden find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way, and she did eat, no more crying, and her countenance was no more sad. See, what happened here is that when Eli agreed with her in prayer, the process moved even faster. Don't miss this thing. When Eli, man of God, agreed with her in prayer, then the process moved even faster. Faster. You know, That's one of the advantages I guess Christian couples have, is they got each other to agree with. But even if you're not married, listen, you could find a saved person that'll agree with you in prayer for the manifestation of whatever you're asking God for. Mark chapter 18, verse 19 tells us that. He says, again, I say to you that if two of you, how many of you? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask. This is Jesus talking. He said, if two of you agree as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Ha! Oh, my God. So she got the priest to agree with her. And he said, God grant you that baby. So that was a wrap. That was a wrap. A lot of husbands and wives don't even take advantage of this. Well, this is the way I think. This is the way. Come on now. You're saved, folks. Come on, you come together and agree. Or at least come together and ask God. And when you both have a peace to move in the same direction, then move. But until you do, just stand still, believing that God will show up at the right time in the right place for the right reasons. Oh, there's power in prayer, folks. There's power in prayer. Hallelujah. Let's get back to the story, the last part of it, verse 19 and 20. And they rose up early in the morning, they worshiped before the Lord, and they returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, means they became intimate. And the Lord remembered her. After all these years they've been married, the Lord remembered her. Now, verse 20 is what really, really is important. That first five words says, wherefore, it came to pass. Wherefore, it came to pass. When Sister Eve and I agreed on paying off a car, it came to pass. Did we have enough money to pay it off prior to that? No way. Is anything too hard for God? No way. No way. No, no way. It says, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, and that takes about 9 months, when the time to come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. That's what his name means, asked of the Lord. Now, once again, I want you to remember this one statement. Effectual prayer crystallizes in the natural world those things that already exist. They already exist. Already exist in the spiritual world. Already exists in the spiritual world. Long before I understood this, you know, my life was operating in these principles, but I didn't know what I was doing. But now I know what I'm doing, and I'm trying to tell you, God wants you to take you further than you ever thought about going. He wants to bless you beyond all measures. Hallelujah. There's power in prayer, and it belongs to you. That's the message today. There's power in prayer, and it belongs to you. Now, before I go, I got to share this with you. The ingredients to crystallizing something. There's always some ingredients. See, we talked about water being crystallized into ice. For water to crystallize into ice, the only ingredient that's needed is the right temperature. That's all. But without the right temperature, you ain't getting no ice. All you're going to get is some stale water. You let it sit there long enough, but you're not getting the ice. You have to add the low temperature to the water. Then you'll get the ice. Now, to crystallize God's blessing into our lives, we must add five ingredients to our prayers. All right? This is what I'm going to share with you before we get out of here today. You got to add these five ingredients to your prayers. Can't just voice some words out of your mouth and think you're in control of God. It doesn't work that way. Five ingredients. That's all. You add these five ingredients, and I guarantee you, whatever you pray for, it's going to be manifested in God's timing. Now, you can't make God move beyond the timing that He set. You can't. You just really can't. But it's coming. Let me just share these five ingredients to your effectual prayer. First of all, there needs to be a contrite spirit. Everybody say contrite spirit. Psalms 34 and 18 says this, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. See, the word contrite means to be sorry, to be repentant, to be ashamed of whatever the situation that you got yourself into. You know, don't go to God like He owe you something. He don't owe you nothing. Amen? Nothing. He's the creator. There's only one creator. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we read that last week. He tells us another thing about being having a contrite spirit. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, everybody say, that's me. If they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, talking about being contrite, you know, humble yourself. Come on now. You ain't all that. There ain't no use you going to God telling God what you do. God, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I know what God said. God said, shut up. Be humble. You don't even know what this whole thing's all about. Hallelujah. He says, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sins, and then I'll heal their land. So the first thing we need to add to our prayers is a contrite spirit, which is really a humble spirit, being sorry, you know, for whatever's going on. You know, just being repentant if repentance is needed. The second thing you need to add to your effectual prayer is what I call wholeheartedness. Everybody say wholeheartedness. That means you got to put your whole heart into this thing. Amen? You're either going to be in it or you're not going to be in it. I'm not talking about becoming magicians. I'm talking about letting things in the spirit world manifest into your natural world. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. When? If you seek him with what? all your heart. Not a little bit of your heart, but all your heart and with all your soul. So when you go to God, listen, let that be the number one thing on your mind, on your heart, or wherever. Everything into this thing. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of you? But to fear the Lord thy God and walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with what? All your heart and with all your soul." Today, that's all God wants. He wants his whole heart, your whole heart to be toward him. Come on. Whole heart. We put too many other things ahead of God. And when we do, those things become our God. They become our God. Hallelujah. God wants to be above your children. He wants to be above your spouse. He wants to be above your job. He wants to be above your local church assembly. He wants to be number one in your life. If you desire something else more than you desire God, then those things have become your God. He wants your whole heart in this thing. Jeremiah 29:13, the word of God says, "And you shall seek me and find me when? When you shall search for me with what? All your heart." All your heart. All your heart. See, when I even went to God in prayer, when we went to God in prayer about that car and stuff, look, all our heart was in this thing. All of it was in this thing. It wasn't just a passing thing. This is what we want, God. Whatever you want us to do, this is what we want. Nothing else took priority when we were praying for that thing. This is what we want. This is it. The third ingredient to add to your effectual prayer is faith. Everybody say faith. You know the scriptures on faith. Mark 11, 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you what? Pray, believe." That word believe just translate to the word faith. Have faith that is coming. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is Jesus coming out of his mouth with these things. This is God speaking to you. You got to have faith. You got to believe it. None of this stuff, well, maybe God will do it. No. God's already put the power in you. You got to let that power manifest whatever's in the spirit world. And then Matthew 17, 20, another author says the same thing that Jesus said. He says, "For verily I say to you, if you have faith, just a little bit of faith, the grain of mustard seed, you shall say," not God shall say, "you shall say unto this mountain." Now, mountain's a big thing. How many of you have moved a mountain? How many of you have moved a hill just with your own mind? A bucket of dirt? He says, if you just say to this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove. And nothing, oh Lord, look at God saying this. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He said, if you have that kind of faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. That means to me that we're a lot of time going through the motions, the religious motions, but we don't believe it. We don't believe it. God says you get to the point where you just got a little bit of faith. You'll have that power to say to mountains, "Get out of here, mountain," and it shall move. And then in Hebrew 11 and 6, you know that famous scripture says, "But without faith is what? It's impossible to please." Ha la la bashata. It's impossible to please God. What pleases God? Now get this. Listen. What pleases God? What pleases God is to have his children move stuff, come on now, from the spiritual world that he has placed there for him, come on, for them, into the natural world so they can use it. That's what pleases God. Why would he put it there for you? Why? If he didn't want you to have it. But there's certain spiritual laws that we've got to abide by. God turned this whole thing over to man. And when you got saved again, listen, we know the story. Adam gave it away. But when you got saved again, that dominion becomes yours again. You have that power to call those things that be not as if they were. When you going to start using it? When? When you going to start believing God? When? God is saying to you and I, said, nothing. If you learn this thing, nothing shall be impossible to you. You got some bills, speak to those bills. Say, be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Now, don't get that attitude that you want the bills to be gone so that you can create some more bills. Because you're going to have to recite that same prayer down the road. But what if you just spoke to your bills and said, be gone in the name of Jesus? Be gone. I'm just using bills as an example. But if you say, be gone, and then watch God supernaturally take them away. Supernaturally bring some resources in your life to just take them away. Would that be a good thing for you? God says, I already put the solution in the spiritual world, but you just got to use your power through prayer, your effectual prayer, to bring it about. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The fourth ingredient you need to add to your prayer, to your effectual prayer, is righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Now, I'm not talking about your own righteousness. I'm talking about the righteousness of God. I'm not talking about you doing everything perfect and correct. See, when you get saved again, you become the righteousness of God. So this scripture is saying basically that you need to position yourself under Jesus Christ. Going to church is not enough. Amen. That's a trick of the devil. If you think all I got to do is show up in church every Sunday and then everything going to be all right for me and I'm going to be a child of God, doesn't work that way. What Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. You got to be. You got to be. But then he said what he's talking about his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. He says, but seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek ye salvation, true salvation, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then in James 5:16, he says, the effectual, fervent prayer, once again, we read that earlier, of a righteous man, a righteous man, a righteous man. What righteousness? The righteousness that comes from getting saved. The righteousness that comes from making Jesus Christ your Lord. Not somebody doing good stuff. So you got all these promises are for those that have given their life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. And the fifth ingredient that you must add to your prayer is obedience. Everybody say obedience. Now, I know we need to laugh now, because surely God knows how smart we are. Why would we wait on God's instructions? Now, I'm going to tell you something that I know from experience. Whenever God tells you to do something, it's something either you don't want to do or something that doesn't make sense to your mind in the natural, most of the time, in the natural. So when you talk about being obedient to God, you've got to position yourself to whatever God tells you to do. Whatever God tells you to do, you got to be willing to do it. But you'll never hear it if you never go to God. It's a vicious circle. Look at this. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, to obey is what? Better than sacrifice. Well, I gave a lot of offerings, but did you obey? Did you do what God tell you to do? Well, it just didn't make sense. It just didn't make sense. It just didn't make sense. I told you a little bit of my story about 36 years ago. I hee-haw and hee-haw about going to a hospital. I tell you, that was the last thing in my mind I really wanted to do after visiting the hospital. I didn't want to go back there. But then God had to speak to me, and I believe because he loved me, he spoke to me. And he said, Dan, if you believe it's me talking to you, then get up and pack this stuff and move. He said, otherwise, forget it. And that's a hard thing, I'm going to tell you now. But it wasn't too hard for me because I got up and packed my clothes and gone on to a hospital. But a lot of stuff God tell you to do, you're just not going to want to do it. But you already, you got to make up your mind ahead of time. Whatever God tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. But the dilemma is, a lot of time we never go to God and ask him what he wants us to do. We just do. And then after it messed up, we come back and say, God, this is messed up. God said, I know. I didn't tell you to do that. You didn't even ask me, should I do it? You just did it. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. Amen. Now let me just free some people here real quickly. We're about to end this. When you go to a doctor and the doctor advises you something, I'd recommend that you follow that advice. Because you got to ask yourself, why did I go in the first place? And for us, we should go as a result of going to God first and asking him, what do you want me to do? And if God said, go to the doctor, why ignore the stuff the doctor tell you to do? Why not ask God first? Do you want me to go? And if you get a peace, go. And take that as a direction from God all the time. So we need that obedience. Last scripture, 1 John 3:22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandment. We do what he says and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Once again, effectual prayers crystallizes in the natural world those things, hallelujah, that already exist in the spiritual world. There's power in prayer, and that power belongs to you.